touch it and describe it to me.
Just wood. Wall.
Fine. Walk to this window over here. Touch a spot on the window and describe it to me.
This feels like glass.
Well, that's because it is glass. Describe it. Describe it the best you can.
Well, it's smooth.
Right.
It's warm, warmer than the wood because the sun's coming through.
Very good. Now walk to that wall again. Touch the spot. Close your eyes.
We're staying in a beautiful hotel, Amar Villas, which boasts that you can see the Taj Mahal from every room. And I can vouch for this. Although I would have preferred not to, I had obviously eaten something that disagreed with me. Not I hastened to enter the hotel restaurant and found myself confined to the toilet one afternoon. And yes, you could even see the Taj Mahal from there. Success or failure? We all need our own personal survival kit to see us through. For me, it's feeding the ducks with my three grandchildren, making chill-out music compilations. I own hundreds of chill-out CDs, and I've even made one of my own. Caned, the London restaurant scene.
Here's something you may not know about me. I haven't paid for a drink in over 4 years.
I was fired, so sad to tell. Well, I never saw it coming.
Jack in Lakewood, what's up, Jack?
Yeah, regarding the situation with Bob Kraft, have you ever engaged in anything like that yourself?
First of all, you're a moron for calling up with that nonsense. That's when not what you asked to call about. Okay, number one. All right, number two, I have not. But you know what? You're just a jerk for even calling up the show and wasting our time with that. Brian, Staten Island, what's up, Brian?
Chris Gaines. And your host, Garth Brooks. Ladies and gentlemen,
Our tilted teachers have stalled us. The punch bowl has been spiked on today. One of you jive time turkeys put some ecstasy in it. And now our beloved social studies teacher is out on the dance floor in a man diaper doing a cha-cha slide. Also, if you get shot with an arrow...
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Hearing the sound collage?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing. It's been silence. It's just me going,
oh,
hey guys.
I just did the best sound collage of my whole life.
I'm sure it was.
And it was a performance for two, for me and Devlin, are the only ones that heard it. I'm here at the Earwolf Studios, everyone. Welcome to the best show 2020, right? Best show 2020. Hurt. Right? Hurt. Can you hear that?
I can hear that.
Yeah, man. Well, get ready. It's a bowling alley. Because I tell you now, ladies and gentlemen, the best show's back for 2020. Looking to punch some faces in this year. I ain't joking no more. Sick of the slack, and I was as responsible for the slack as anybody. Phoning it in. Letting the AP mics of the world drive the bus. Huge mistakes. Huge. No more. My fist, your face. That's the motto for 2020. My fist, your face. Get ready. Because it's best show time, baby. And the best show's back. And here we go. And let's do it. And, we're going to have a grand old time, and you guys over there, keep the one line clear. That's all I say. You know what I mean, right? They don't know what I mean. I just texted Dudio the deal. So let's start the best show the way we always do it. It's best show time. Welcome, everybody, to the year 2020. My name's Tom. I welcome you to the best show. And here we go. I'm only going to play a second of this, and we're just going to start the show. I ain't got time for this. We'll wait for the first chorus, and then it's best show time. 2020, what's up? The number, 201-332-3484. Call the best show and talk to me tonight. Talking to new callers only, unless you want to talk about Grown Ups 3. Then I'll talk to anybody. Ah, yes. As the theme fades into the sunset, I tell you welcome. And who's there with me? Who's over there? I'm in Los Angeles. Who's in New Jersey?
You got me,
yeah.
Studio, and then you've got Mike. Running up with Mike right now.
I love it. How are you, Mike? Mike's doing phones.
Happy New Year.
He's already four calls. Happy New Year, Mike. Yeah. Studio, did you give Mike my text?
I did.
Good.
I did. We're good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what's going on tonight, Mike?
A whole lot. You know,
You're hanging, tight.
Video tonight.
Yeah. You pumped?
Yeah, I'm pumped, man.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm pumped, man. So this is what I'm going to say to you, Mike, and Dudio, and Pat. Pat is doing other stuff.
Yeah, Pat's a little under the weather.
Well, I hope Pat. I hope you feel better soon, my friend. So I says to you, so we're just gonna set some stuff up for 2020 best show, and we'll talk more about that later. But I want to tell everybody right now the phone number 201-332-3484. I'm here in Los Angeles. Got engineer Devin, not engineer Dev. Devin, name's just Devin.
How's it going, Tom?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
You fired up?
Yeah,
my friend.
Always.
Good. I love it.
Yeah.
Now you take a page from this guy's book. You don't have to just sleepwalk through life, Mike.
I was listening to the earlier conversations. Yeah, he's on the ball.
He is. He's gung ho. He's got his eyes on the prize. Not his eyes on some weird Coors Light neon sign. Apparently, that's what you got your eyes on, Mike.
You know what? In tribute to you, Tom, yeah, I don't turn a light on when you're not here.
I thought you were going to say in tribute to me, you threw it in the garbage.
Oh. It's been dark the whole time.
Good. Yeah. Well, put the light on tonight, Mike. Put it on.
All right.
Put it on. You celebrate. You celebrate your love of Coors Light. Be proud of it.
I will.
I know they mock you, Mike. Right? Yeah. Well, maybe you don't know. I don't know. Do you not know this? Oh, boy. Yikes. Right?
Some names.
You want some names?
Addresses.
Well, I'd say just look across that table.
I'd say the names are pretty easy.
Yeah, the names. Just zero in on the other human in the room with you, Mike.
I had a nice chat earlier on.
Nah, Pat loves you, Mike. Pat loves you. Pat's not the problem.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say who it is. I don't name names. I'm not a rat.
Not a rat.
I'm not a rat.
It's not abundantly clear who this is.
And I don't want to hear, if I hear from any rats out there, I'm telling you, if I find out you're a rat, yeah, I want nothing to do with you. Right?
Nothing like an internet rat.
An internet rat. That's exactly how it goes.
An online rat. I don't even know you, never met you.
Yeah, an online rat, exactly.
Rat you out.
Yeah, they rat you out. They really gain all this stuff by flapping their lips, huh? Right?
Yeah.
They gain so much. Mm-hmm. Nah, man. You know what I say about the rats. Right? You walk them right into the river, mm-hmm, right?
Pied Piper style?
Pied Piper style, right in the river. But no rats allowed here. But Dudio ain't no rat.
No.
Dude's a solid citizen.
He is.
So I want to say this to you. So you all know that that I put out yesterday. Maybe you don't know. Maybe people don't know. I don't know. I don't know why I would assume anyone would know anything. Anytime I assume anything about myself is when hubris puts me low. I assume somebody knows who I am. Any of the rare times I ever would have the hubris to assume that. And Mike, remember this: hubris is what sunk the mighty Titanic, not an iceberg. It was hubris and an iceberg.
Yeah, and Harvey Weinstein.
Right. Well, that's.
Whoa.
Why was that Harvey? What did he do? Did he do Titanic?
I don't think he did.
He had nothing to do with Titanic, Mike.
Okay.
Wait, great. Our Hollywood, our beat report, our showbiz reporter.
Yeah.
And Harvey Weinstein.
I'm reading his book, Down and Dirty Pictures. You ever read it, Tom? It's an old book.
I think I did read it.
Yeah. Well, you read it now with all the hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
Whole different story.
Yeah. A lot of people talking about how they were best buds with Harvey.
Yeah, they just should reissue it now and call it Making of a Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll clean up.
Yeah, man. Clean it up. I get you. Who's flapping their gums in that? Kevin Smith?
Oh, yeah. He's all over the place. He's his twisted father figure.
He named his, he changed his name though. Did you know that, Mike?
No,
Kevin, he did. He actually just changed it to Kevin Smith and S. Because he adds that. He adds that onto everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird verbal thing.
Yeah. So what did you see any movies, Mike?
Yeah, I saw some movies.
What'd you see?
I saw Uncut Gems.
Yeah, did you like it?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's your kind of movie. Mm-hmm. You could be one of the folks in their movie. Yeah. Right?
I could totally see that.
Couldn't you picture Mike going, "Give me the money. I want the money. Where's my money? Come on, Howard. Stop bleeping around with me. I want my money."
I think I'd have to have a tire iron in my hand.
No, I could picture. I'm going to start putting you up for some roles like that.
Oh, I appreciate that, Tom.
Would you do that if you got a call? Would you do a movie like that?
Yeah, I have so much happening right now, Tom. Yeah, no, I'd have to talk to my agent.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I can't make any promises.
I could picture you as one of the street scum in the Uncut Gems 2, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Street scum. You could play some of the, you could play one of the street scum in that.
I went low in that Liam Neeson movie that they somebody hooked me up with, Rob, and I didn't even make the cut. So
yeah, you're still sore about that.
I am.
What Liam Neeson movie was this?
Oh, I've already forgotten the name of the movie.
He did They did some movie, and then Mike got cut out of the final thing, and he's still irked. They didn't make the final cut.
It was a scene in a. It wasn't just a video store. It was a. What were those videos that were coming out at the time where people got killed in them? What was it? What are they called?
Like Faces of Death?
No, there was. Like, the name word. I can't think of it.
Like torture snuff things.
Yeah, it's snuff. Snuff.
Yeah. Snuff.
Yeah. It was a snuff film video store.
Mm-hmm.
I was the proprietor of the store. Yeah. So I guess I was supposed to feel.
So Liam Neeson came. So how did the? Let's do the scene right now. Let me see what you've got.
Well,
no, you're behind. No. You're behind the counter.
You're forgetting one thing, Tom.
What?
Liam Neeson wasn't even in the scene.
Well, he's in it now. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Yeah.
You're behind the counter. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. That's the little bell on the door ringing. Enter Liam Neeson.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Do you have any preferences?
I'm looking for an adult movie.
Yeah? But I mean, you know, what's your fetish?
Listen here, you sicko. And he like presses your head against the counter, right?
Yeah.
Grabs you by the scruff, right?
Yeah.
Right by the throat. He'll grab you by the throat. Mm-hmm. Presses your head against the counter. You tell your boss I'm coming for him. Right?
I'll make sure he gets the message.
And then he takes some lotion or something and dumps it on your head. Right?
Lotion?
Yeah, whatever's on the counter.
Okay, yeah, well. Okay.
That was not a bad scene, Mike. You were pretty good.
Yeah.
Did I sound like Liam Neeson?
Yeah, you were good.
It's the first time I ever did that.
Somebody wanted to watch Taken 2 at the bar the other day, so yeah. The sound of his voice is still on my ears.
Yeah. Dudio, did you like my impression of Liam Neeson?
It was right on the money, honestly.
Thank you. Thank you, Dudio. Yeah. I can always turn to you for overpraise.
Yeah.
Sincere.
No!
I would say.
Look.
I would be honest.
Look. Man, I want it. I want it. Look, man. I wanted it. Now, I wonder what it would be like if Liam Neeson was hanging out with Sebastian Maniscalco. No, I'm not doing it.
What I was hoping for.
I can't even do it. I lost it now. He's like Pap. I'm like Pap. I got to get it back. Right? I'm trying to do a show at Radio City. Is that it, Mike?
Yeah. That's
good. It. Okay. I'll get it back.
Yeah, Pop. Supposed to Pop.
Pop.
My father.
Oh, you're one-upping me, eh? That's fine.
I'm just doing
the competition's good. Competition's good.
My exaggerated New York accent.
I'm going to get you to play some street scum in one of their movies, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. I need drugs.
I'd be good in barroom scenes.
Yeah, barroom.
Liquor store scenes, just, yeah. You know.
What do you need?
Yeah, I can do that.
What's the fanciest drink you can make? Oh, because Mike works bar through the beautiful city of Bayonne. If somebody comes in, what's your go-to fancy drink?
I don't do a lot of fancy drinks.
Coors Light?
No.
Brandy Alexander?
No, every once in a while I'm called upon to do a Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And, unfortunately.
How's that come out?
You know what? Nobody's ever rejected it, you know? So I think I'm doing a decent job. But the problem at Mass is that sometimes we don't always have all the ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Do you have produce on hand? Do you have, like, celery and stuff?
They don't have all the ingredients. So I could go there and be like, yeah, I'd like to get a Bloody Mary. Be like, yeah, we don't have tomato juice.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I haven't improvised without tomato juice.
How would you feel about some food dye in Coors Light?
Yeah, no, I haven't improvised without tomato juice.
Good.
I would inform the customer that we do not have tomato juice.
Well, thank the Lord for that, huh? Right, yeah. Mike?
Yeah.
So anyway, I put this Grown Ups 3 thing out. I wrote it back in like April or so. Grown Ups 3, my script, the third in the franchise, Grown Ups 3. Why'd I do it? I don't know. I thought it was funny. So I did it. Then I sat on it for a while as it got moved around town. And then I decided it's time for the world to see it. And then we put it online, and I will say this, that Dudio and Martine did an outstanding job getting the website together. And they did. And now it's up. And it's out for the world to see. You go to grownups3script.com, and that's the number 3. Grownups, www.grownups3script.com. And the script's there. You can read it. I'm going to say it is going to be the best thing I've ever done in my life. Well, is that script.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
That will be my legacy, Grown Ups 3. And I'd love to see, you know, I ain't seen no movie posters yet. Ain't nobody worked up no movie poster for it yet.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe we'll get that someday. Maybe somebody after some enterprising internet pal will do that.
Yeah, I already did the logo.
Jason already did the logo. Very good. An outstanding job.
Thank you. Thank you. I wasn't fishing there. I'm just saying.
No, I know. Don't worry. I know. Adam McKay, Oscar award winner, Adam McKay, for writing. What did he say? Top 5 movies of 2019. Grown Ups 3 is one of them. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
This guy co-created Anchorman. Succession. All these things. Ricky, the legend of, The Talladega Nights, Step Brothers. This guy's done some of the best stuff ever. He gets it.
Where's Vulture? Where's AV Club?
They're coming. They're coming. They already reached out. But other places can. I want to hear. If you want, I'll talk to anybody about this thing. Now there's people who want to do productions of it. Like, there's going to be a, like in Austin, they're going to do a reading of it.
Yeah, Cold Town.
Yeah. And they're going to do it for charity?
You got to get some third graders to do a production.
Look, man, anybody wants to do anything with it, we'll mount the production. You let me know.
Have you seen that kids' production of Scarface yet?
I did not.
It's making around. But yeah, you know, that'll go viral.
What other movies you see, Mike?
I've been watching Criterion Channel quite a bit.
What'd you check out on that?
Well, they've got a bunch of Paul Schrader movies on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I rewatched some movies, but there was some movies I hadn't seen before. Did you ever hear of Adam Resurrected?
Adam Resurrected. No, I've not heard of that.
Yeah. Based on an Israeli novel. So he didn't write it. Jeff Goldblum's in it.
Mm-hmm. What year is it from?
You know what? I think it's like early 2000s.
Okay.
2007, 6 in there.
You know what you're like, Mike? You're like the demented version of that guy on that film channel. That guy who sits in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this next movie is called Miracle on 34th Street. That guy. What's his name?
I don't remember that guy.
Who's the guy? You know what I mean? The film?
Yeah, with the Turner Classic?
Yes, like a Turner Classic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Turner Classic.
That guy. Yeah. You're like a demented version of that guy. You're like, I'm on a Criterion Channel. I found a Paul Schrader movie. Nobody's seen. We're going to get you somewhere. Mike, you're going to have a good 2020.
Yeah.
Telling you right now. Okay. Any merch plans?
No merch in the works.
This time last year, you were ramming that dumb calendar down everyone's throats.
Yeah.
And you gave everybody, you sold through all of them.
Sold out.
Sold out.
Yeah.
I never got one.
me neither.
No.
Guy gets a little tight. Guy gets a little tight when it comes to sharing the inventory.
We're going.
Would have been nice.
What could I do?
Would have been real nice.
All right, give me a call. Give me a non-line 5 call.
Non-line 5
line
call.
Line 1 is on the topic.
Well, hit it. Let's hear it.
Line 1, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Colette from Athens.
Colette from Athens. How are you tonight, Colette? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Tom. I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
I'm good. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Colette?
I just wanted to tell you that Grown Ups 3 is brilliant. It completely changed my conception of the Sandlerverse.
Thank you.
And it reminded me of a near encounter that I had with Rob Schneider.
Mm-hmm. Where was that?
It was in Athens. Like, there's a music festival in Athens that Rob Schneider sometimes attends, I think. I was at a bar with some friends, and, there's something, almost tragic about seeing a famous person not get bothered at a bar in a small town. Like in New York, that'd be totally cool, or like Los Angeles, but I feel like in Athens, if the star of the hot chick is in a bar and no one is talking to him,
mm-hmm.
star has faded pretty hard.
Well, I gotta say this. Did you speak to Rob?
No, I really wanted to. I was stopped by a friend who is the one person. Because I've told you about my previous encounters with movie people, right? They never go very well.
Yeah, I've heard a couple things. I believe so. That you, but you didn't want to slide all the chips in on Rob Schneider.
No, I mean, I think he was there with his kid, and my plan was to go over to Rob Schneider and tell him how important the hot chick was to the transgender community.
Mm-hmm.
Then you
thought twice about it, because you didn't mean it.
Well, actually, no, that's not really true.
You mean it a little bit?
To me. Yeah, I owned that movie on VHS, and I watched it all the time when I was a kid.
Okay.
The Adam Sandler movies, I don't know. I feel like it's worth going back and critically reevaluating the Happy Madison films, the oeuvre.
Yeah, and that's why this Grown Ups 3 thing I wrote. I love it. I'm so proud of it. People would say, why would you write that?
Love it.
You know why? Because I don't care. Because I had an idea. And I was a little boy with an idea. And there's nothing you can do to stop a little boy with an idea.
No. How long did it take you to write?
Guess how long it took me to write.
Like 6 hours.
Oh, well, that's the most insulting thing I've ever heard in my life. That truly hurts my feelings.
Wow. 6 hours.
Six hours.
Yeah. Those were six intense hours.
Though. 6 hours. 52 pages. 6 hours?
I don't know.
Colette, I got to say this. We're shaking things. This is how we're starting 2020. Hang up on Colette. Hang up on Colette. No. This is it. Hang up.
Wow. 6 hours.
6 hours.
That's the same length as a shift at Masses for me.
Yeah.
Could have been sitting there typing.
6 hours. All right. Any other good lines?
Let's do line
three. Give me five.
You want five?
Yeah.
Here we go. Line five, you're on.
Hey, Tom, Bradwin and Silver Newbridge, first time, long time.
Bradwin?
Bradwin, yes.
Bradwin. How are you, Bradwin?
I'm good. What's shaking in Weirdo Wood?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just kind of enjoying being here in Los Angeles, and it's nice. I like it. I like it, Bradwin. What's that?
It's a whole different vibe, right?
It is a whole different vibe, yeah. Yeah, I enjoy it. Bradwin or Bradwin?
Bradwin. Bradwin.
Okay, Bradwin. Okay.
No. B-R-A-D, like Brad, like Brad Whitford. Kind of the unsung axeman in Aerosmith.
Mm-hmm. You think so? You think people don't talk about him as much as Joe Perry?
Well, here's a tidbit. I don't know if you knew this, but amongst the Aerosmith camp,
yeah,
Brad Whitford, Tom Hamilton, and Joey Kramer are known within the organization as the LIT.
The LIT. What does that stand for?
The Less Interesting Three. This is true.
So people, when you say people in the Aerosmith camp, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about the band and management.
That they just refer to three of the five members of Aerosmith as the less interesting three.
They do. Someone on your staff can Google that. I think it's out there.
I actually, when you, the only thing I could think of when you said in the Aerosmith camp, all I could think of is what if Aerosmith opened a camp? Like Camp Aerosmith.
I'm pretty into it. I think, well, you know, those guys were nature dudes from New Hampshire at the beginning.
They were nature dudes.
Oh yeah. Have you not read the oral history? Oh my goodness. So much filth in there.
I didn't read the oral history of Aerosmith, but they would walk around the woods and stuff.
Well, they're from New Hampshire. Steven Tyler and Joe Perry. I think that's where they met up in New Hampshire at a camp. So they're nature guys, so I don't think it's out of their realm of expertise. I mean, sure, they've suffered insane cocaine damage, but that never kept anyone from being a counselor, as far as I know.
But you could picture them doing like games like tug of war would be like draw the line. You draw the line, then you do the tug of war, right?
I don't get the draw the line part.
Okay, well, it's never mind. Skip it. Just skip it.
Escaping holes. Like I know about the LIT, but I don't know any song titles.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. You got some inside information on how the business goes down, but you didn't know one of their hits. Whatever. That's fine.
Very weird stuff. Hey, speaking of Hollywood.
Yeah, what's that, Bradwin?
Well, I'm sure you were there, but I didn't get to watch the Golden Globes because I had to help my pastor bury something. But I heard Ricky Gervais killed.
He is, he's a tough customer. You know what I mean?
Loaded. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes all out.
Goes right for the juggler. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you can confirm this. I don't know if it's true or not, but is he an atheist? Because I think I heard him say it only one time.
I am not entirely sure. I like his comedy because he keeps it pure and keeps business like that out of it.
Very pure. And when he laughs at something, he says it's never fake.
It's never a fake, shrill, overpowering,
no,
punishing laugh that interrupts everyone's concentration and celebrates his own success only in comparison to people who have less than him. It's none of that. It's warm.
It's very warm. And you know who would know whether or not this is true or not? It is Andy Kindler, who I think runs a Ricky Gervais news group.
He does. He runs the Fun Club.
Fun Club. Okay, I'm gonna write Fun Club.
Ricky Gervais's Fun Club. He's the president of that.
Right.
And he's pretty tight with Ricky. Also, I like that he just calls himself Ricky.
It's just Ricky now, like Cher.
It's just just Ricky. It's like certain people, you just know them by the first name, Jack, right?
Exactly. Yeah, Jack Black.
But Nicholson, actually, so I thought, but... Okay, or like Arnold.
Arnold from Happy Days.
Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger, yes.
Yeah.
That was my second. Hey, speaking of the film world.
Yeah.
I know you used to be in the entertainment industry, but maybe you've still got some contacts.
Okay, that's not true.
We'll find out if the original title of this Roger Ailes movie Bombshell was hitting those hard T's.
Yeah, hitting those hard. That's because, like, I don't know, this movie,
right?
Bombshell, which is the one which has Margot Robbie and Nicole Kidman and Charlize Theron. When she always really hits the T's hard in that.
It's insane.
Yeah. When she's playing, because she's playing Megyn Kelly.
Right, right. And I'll be honest, I don't. Oh my God, what's going on out there?
What? What's that? Rodwin?
I'm here. It sounds like there's a third party on the line.
Is there a third party on the line?
Very interesting sounding.
I can't hear anything.
Now it's gone.
Is there anything on New Jersey? I'm trying to talk to a caller, for goodness sake.
I feel good now. It's gone. Whatever it was, it sounded like a child playing on streets of Jersey City or something.
Broadwin, I apologize.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. I've got all night.
Okay.
And I have all night to listen to me.
Because, all right. Well,
we were talking about the hard T's, and I haven't given enough attention to Megyn Kelly, so I don't know if that's a true portrayal of her voice. I assume it is because Charlize Theron is a great, great actress. But it was just very interesting to me that she, that the heavy T, and it got me thinking of something.
Well,
I love when you do Joe Namath.
Oh, thank you, Broadwin. Thank you.
Greatest thing.
I appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
Because it's a similar vibe.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you would do a little riffage with me where you are Joe Namath and I'm interviewing you. I'm Megyn Kelly and it's the Megyn Kelly show and I'm interviewing Joe Namath. Can we do that, please? Please?
Sure. Let's do a little bit of it.
All right. Okay. Okay. And 5, 4, 3, 2... They never say the one on TV.
No, they don't. I guess because it creates a certain amount of space
Exactly, exactly. I think it's for what they call editing. Okay, so here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2. Today on the Megyn Kelly Show, we have football great Joe Namath. Joe, we know you as a great quarterback, but what people might not know is that you have one of the country's largest comic book collections. Joe, what is your favorite comic book?
Well, Megyn, thank you for that amazing question. I really enjoy when I get any opportunity to talk all about my comic book collection. Probably my most proudest comic book is Daredevil number 2 I have. It's in mint minus condition, and I really like to look at the pages of Daredevil number 2 often when I'm laying around in my home.
I love when people say often, when they hit the T in often.
Mm-hmm. Would be a good one would be is Joe Namath talking to Jimmy Hoffa from The Irishman.
Okay. I've only seen 3 hours of this, so I can't really.
Yeah.
Do
well, you didn't get in 2 more hours. Jimmy Hoffa shows up in the movie. It's gonna be exciting because right now you're probably saying to yourself, "What is this movie about?" With a Robert De Niro looking like he's the love child of Alec Baldwin and Robin Williams, and with these insane blue eyes that make it look like he's Bill Bixby on the Hulk.
That's exactly it. Oh my
which
God.
I do have to credit our friend Ronnie for saying that line. But I'm sorry, Ronnie. I'm not stealing your stuff.
That's dead on. Hey, speaking of television.
Yeah.
I heard this rumor between sets at the gym the other day that you were going to be the 5th Impractical Joker for this next season. But you tested so poorly because people thought you were an animal.
Well, that's very insulting. That's hurtful. So people were watching, and they thought it was like the 4 Impractical Jokers and an animal.
Yes, but I gotta say, in some cases, that's just down to choice of clothing.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That I was wearing stuff that made me look like some sort of, do you even know what animal they thought I was? Did people at the gym?
Well, the guy I was talking to, the actual word he used was gorilla.
A gorilla. Okay.
A gorilla. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. No. Well, I'm not a gorilla or gorilla, but. Sure. Okay. Well, that's still hurtful. All I can say on that matter is, I like to try different things out in my career, and, I'm blessed by the opportunities, and sometimes they don't all entirely work out. And I appreciate, the tenderloins, and Impractical Jokers for the opportunities.
Hey. There's always next season. That's what I say, you know. And let's have some fun, okay? I feel like I brought you down, and that was
a little bit.
Nor my intention. I'm sorry.
A little bit.
Okay, let's bring the vibe up. Okay, my buddies and I play this really fun game, and I'd love to do a round with you if you've got just a few minutes to do it.
Sure. What is the game?
Well, the game is called What Would Have Happened If, and it's kind of like that board game called What If, but there's just 2 more words in the title of this game.
Okay.
Okay. So basically how it works is you just pick a person or an event, and you have 2 minutes to paint a picture of what you think would have happened if some crucial part of that early story didn't occur.
Okay. Okay.
Right? So I'll start and I'll do one first. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let me just think of
show me how it's done.
Okay, I'll think of a good one. Hang on. Got it. Okay, all right. What would have happened if Fonzie from Happy Days never met the Cunninghams?
What would have happened if Fonzie, the character from Happy Days,
yeah,
never crossed paths with the Cunningham family, who kind of became a surrogate family to him?
Exactly, exactly. They as far as I remember, they really steered him off the bad path and kept him on the right path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, here's what I think would have happened. I think Fonzie would have become more bitter and disappointed as his life went on, because he knew he wasn't on the same playing field intellectually as most of the young people he was coming into contact with. I mean, let's face it, he had little education, no real prospects other than a lifetime as a mechanic in a tertiary city known for its production of bland alcohol and even blander alcoholics. I think the ensuing depression, compounded with a lack of sense of purpose, would eventually drive Fonzie to take more and more chances with negative, reckless behavior. You know, whether it's dangerous driving, fighting, petty thievery. And, you know, on a relationship business, level, you know, that F and Chuck behavior on display when we first meet Fonzie on the Happy Days show, you know, it already kind of reveals him as a chauvinist at best, but an emotionally abusive, philandering creep is probably a more apt description of him. And I think it would only be a matter of time before Fonzie took advantage of and basically knocked up at least two vulnerable teenage girls who are already drawn to erratic narcissist father figures. I mean, imagine Fonzie as a parent. Can you? I mean, it's crazy. There's really no reference to him having a problem with drugs or anything. But I think we all know it would only be a matter of time before he was drinking like a pint of hooch at breakfast just to face another day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and between the humiliation of being unable to provide for his growing and unwanted family and his always simmering rage, you and I both know that Fonzie would eventually find himself scoring H in East Milwaukee with money he stole from his auto shop boss.
Uh-huh. But
that's not where it ends, Tom. Nope.
Okay, so it doesn't end with Fonzie becoming doing hard drugs.
No, oh no, no, no. Tom, pretty soon the night prowls start.
Okay, what are the night prowls?
Well, at first, it's very...
It's dry.
Well, it's emotional. No, it's dry, but it's also emotional because it's a beloved American pike. You know?
Yeah, and, yeah.
So basically, it just starts out as Peeping Tom stuff.
Okay.
But soon that's not enough. You know, he needs to enter the house.
It's not enough for him to get his jollies staring in a window.
No, oh no, no, no. At first it is.
But okay.
He needs to go inside and he needs to let the owners know that he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sickness really takes hold.
What year do you think we're talking about now?
We're talking first season.
So this is like 50s. He's this guy in the 50s.
I think we're talking about like 57.
Okay. Wow.
At this point, it's not just enough to go in the houses. He needs to kill.
Okay.
And he finds victims nobody will miss. Transients, drifters, people of the evening. I mean, essentially, this guy's Dahmer 40 years before Dahmer in the same city.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy, right?
It is.
And his reign of terror on Milwaukee, it's horrific, and it lasts years, and he becomes known as the Beer City Butcher, the Blood Brewer, the Windbreaker Killer, Remember that? He wore a windbreaker in that first season.
He did wear a windbreaker because the network didn't want him wearing a leather jacket because they made him look like a hoodlum.
Right? And it's like, that's even less cool than the high school glee club leather jacket, if you ask me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not cool. It's just, it isn't cool. And here's the thing nobody ever discusses about Fonzie. He wasn't a big guy.
No, he's probably like 5'6", 5'5", right? Yeah,
exactly, exactly. And I really do think that Richie, Potsy, and maybe even Ralph individually would have been able to overpower him given the right circumstances.
Sure, just if they had the confidence.
Yeah, yeah, or just like one crucial step ahead of him in a fight, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, if that happened, once word of Fonzie getting his ass kicked by a nerd made it to the kids down at Arnold's,
mm-hmm.
huge death blow to Fonzie's self-esteem, and you know what that means?
What's that mean?
Hello, Cheese State Strangler.
I don't know what that means.
No, that's Fonzie. That's another nickname that's
he becomes the Cheese Steak Strangler.
Cheese State, STATE.
Oh, okay, that's what threw me. Okay, he's the Cheese State Strangler.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so we'll cut to the end here. In a cruel twist, Fonzie ends up sentenced to the electric chair for the carjacking and bludgeoning of a local hardware store owner who was just on his way home from work in the summer of 1962.
Oh, I see this. I see where this is going.
One Howard Cunningham of 565 Clinton Drive.
Yeah. So it's
never find the head.
They never found his head.
They never find the head.
And then I guess that would mess things up that Richie would not become a journalist.
Oh, he would have become like he would have been an institution. He would have been so messed up. Oh, my God. Okay, now you do one, okay?
Okay, well, that's a little joyous, but...
It's just a fun game.
Yeah, no, it is a fun game. I guess I could do one. What if... Okay, here's a popular one I'll do, but I'll do it in my own style. What if in 1970 the Beatles didn't break up?
Oh.
Like, what if they were all fighting and then, say, someone got them to the table to have another meeting and to be like, we can figure this out, right?
Right, okay.
And instead of blowing the whole thing up, they decide to just give it some space and they'll pull together. So I guess I would think that... Abbey Road would come out, and then Let It Be comes out. And right. then maybe they all take a breather for a year, start doing different music for a year with other people, right? Each right. one puts out, like John Lennon puts out the Plastic Ono album, and Paul McCartney puts out his first solo album. George Harrison puts out All Things Must Pass, which then puts him like in the lead, because so when they start to reform, George Harrison's got a different attitude now.
My God.
Like, he's just like, hey, I'm not just taking a back seat here anymore. It's not just the two of you guys and me and Ringo. It's not like the two winners and the two losers. There's only one loser in the band now, Ringo.
So he hasn't had any of his solo hits yet during this hiatus.
George.
Ringo.
Oh, Ringo. No, Ringo. Ringo has not, because he would put out the same dumb albums he put out, the country album and the album of standards, Sentimental Journey. And it's always funny when these people say, like, I recorded it for my mother. It's like, well, you can do other things for your mother too. The rest of us don't have to buy the thing for your mother. You know, you could
buy your
mother a boat or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it as a tribute to my mother. It's like, okay, great. Deck. What's that?
Sand the back deck.
Yeah, sand the back deck in tribute to your mother.
Yeah.
So they come back together, say around like 72, Mm-hmm. And George is now just like, I'm an equal here in the thing. Ringo, that means he doesn't have any of those hits, any of the like photograph and all those things really don't happen for him.
Right.
So he gets kind of embittered. Then the 70s start rolling along. The Beatles put another album out in like 72, 73, say.
What's it called? Please have a name for it.
What would be, let's see, Lipstick Daydreams.
Ooh, nice. I was going to say Butterscotch something, but that's good.
Maybe I like what you just said. What are like four different candies that they could each think that they're the candies? You know what I mean?
Yes. And it's like the sleeve is a candy box.
Yes. And it's four slots in the candy box. Like you can lift this. It'd be a really expensive package because it's like the Beatles are back with their new album, Butterscotch. I don't want to do fudge. Butter.
A word that doesn't go with candy, like butterscotch concrete.
So each of them, they're not like concrete. So I thought George would say like, I'm butterscotch. And like, pick a flavor that they would they'd all be, right?
I got it. Yeah.
So what candy flavor would Ringo be in a chocolate assortment? Now, what if it's like caramel, butterscotch, nougat?
Well, the English are always talking about marzipan, yeah. So it's got that, right?
So what if it's marzipan, butterscotch, like John is marzipan.
Perfect.
John is marzipan, George is butterscotch, Paul is nougat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Ringo is just like cream filling. Like he's the one that no one wants. Like when you get those boxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he's
terrible.
What's that?
I hate the jelly. Do you like the jelly?
No, he should just be the jelly then and the jelly. Right.
Yeah.
So it comes out. They put an album out. They're huge again. All the stuff that would end up on like Band on the Run and Imagine starts going on like Beatles albums. So it's like, holy moly, these guys are putting together some great albums now.
Right.
But then what rolls in? Punk.
Wait, oh my God, yeah.
And you could picture John. Couldn't you picture the Damned trying to get John Lennon to produce that first album?
Oh yeah, I think he'd be into punk, don't you?
I think he'd be into punk but would be really bad at it.
Yeah. Well, like, I guess he was live during punk, but I don't remember him doing anything.
No, he would miss out. He would think he understood punk.
Right.
But would not be good. Would clearly not understand it.
Would he still be holding his guitar too high?
I think he would get rid of that hollow body guitar and he'd switch to like what's a punk guitar?
Well, like a Moz, right? Like Johnny Ramone played, maybe?
Sure. Like he would start hanging out with, cause if he came to New York at that point, he would, maybe if he was more actively engaged in music still and didn't like pull away, he would be more like on the punk scene.
Tonight at Max's, John Lennon and the Razor Blades.
Yeah. Tonight at Max's, Suicide. The bill would be, what if he started a punk band called Johnny Punk? Johnny Punk and the, what would it be? The Razor Blades.
What if it was John Lemon?
John Lemon and the Mohawks.
What if that was it?
Yeah. And then, like, when the Beatles come back to do their next album, he's punk on it.
He's still punk.
And then Ringo would be full-on disco at that point.
Also has the shag. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I want to do a disco song on the new record. It's called Disco Drummer. They call me Disco Drummer. Right? I like to dance around. And then they would go into the 80s. They're like new wave. Then suddenly they're like a new wave would enter the picture. And you picture Paul. Paul would go so deep into new wave. Right?
He would maybe even get what was his name? Tom Bailey to produce their record from the Thompson Twins.
Suddenly they would be just like, I wanna get the Thompson Twins guy in to do our new record. I don't like the Thompson Twins. They're not disco enough.
And then of course somebody would probably say that I'm not gonna play any of that ass music.
Of course, because they were then they would get canceled,
right?
Then that would be it for the Beatles.
You're a natural at this game.
Yeah. Oh, why? Thank you. I didn't even get to them going into like 80s. Like they would dress like Steve Winwood did or Phil Collins. Remember when those guys wore those loose pastel suits?
Yes.
Like you picture a Beatles album would be just called Loose Suits. The Beatles are back with their new album produced by Bob Clearmountain, Loose Suits.
Loose Suits. It only makes it to number 79.
Yeah. And then they end up in the Queen slot in Live Aid.
Yes.
Because they need to do the comeback.
What if they blow it, though?
Well, yeah, what if they were terrible? They come out, they're just like under-rehearsed.
And they didn't have like a dynamic front guy.
They didn't.
A single focus point.
Yeah. They didn't. So he would come out, they'd come out, they'd be George. John would be like a little too confident. He'd be like, I think you all know this next one, and starts playing the wrong song or something, right? Or he wants to play like I Dig a Pony.
Yeah.
Like, they're working up the set list. Paul's like, we got to start with Hey Jude. And then John's like, why don't we start with I Dig a Pony? And then, like, they eat it at Live Aid in front of the world.
Real bad.
Then they, what would they do?
The Kinks petered. Remember how the Kinks just kind of petered out at the end?
And started playing small. Like, suddenly, like, the Beatles would play, like, The Beatles, Three Nights at the Beacon Theater.
Tonight at the PLA in Philly.
Yeah, they're just playing like smaller places. Tonight at the bottom, the bottom end?
At the bottom of the hill in San Francisco?
No, what was the place in New York? Bottom Line?
Yeah, Bottom Line, yeah.
Tonight at the Bottom Line, the Beatles.
Two shows,
early show and a late show. Early show sold out. Tickets still at the door for the late show. And they just kind of just fade out slowly. Then they would break up and then get back together and be like straight up nostalgia.
Right. Well, what if they came back and they did one of those Altamars parties.
Yeah, like they kind of curated one.
Yeah, and it was the worst attended one.
Yeah. I want to add a band to the lineup. They're called Shellac.
they're going to play at 4 a.m.
Ringo super into Ren and Ringo signs to Touch and Go. I'm working on a new album with the Digits.
Corey says he wants the Digits to back me.
I'm playing with Michael Gerard from Killdozer. So I did one. There you go.
I loved it. You're a champion at this.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. And I hope this isn't a big ask, but I would love a favor right now.
What's that, Rodwin?
Would you let me have this opportunity to announce my new charity?
What is your new charity?
It's called the Ice Glove Challenge.
The Ice Glove Challenge. What is the Ice Glove Challenge?
Well, surely you remember the Ice Bucket Challenge, right?
Sure.
Well, this is just like that, only instead of dumping a bucket of ice water over your head, you pick up a boiling giant hot steel mug full of bubbling lava, and you see how far you can carry it while wearing a giant glove made of 5-inch thick ice.
Mm-hmm.
And you get your friends to pledge $10 for every foot you walk before the ice disintegrates.
Okay.
And I nominate you, Tom Sharpling, to do the Ice Glove Challenge. What an honor, right?
Wait, I would wear a glove made of ice that's like, you said, 5 inches thick?
Super thick, yeah.
But yes. I would also be carrying a mug filled with, you said, lava?
It's like a... Steel was the wrong word. It's like a cauldron, but it's in the shape of a mug.
Okay,
and bubbling lava.
Well, this, I gotta just say, this sounds very dangerous. And how many people have done this to date?
You'd be the first. Why?
Well, it just sounds really, really risky.
But it's a really big honor.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It is for charity.
Uh-huh. I don't know about this. This sounds like a huge physical health risk here.
Look, you don't use that tone with me, you coin-operated weasel fart.
Wait, what did you just call me?
You heard me. I called you a coin-operated weasel fart.
Well, guess what, Broadwin? I'm not going to do your dumb challenge.
Yes, you are.
I'm not going to do it. And you're really driving me nuts, buddy.
Calm down, honey, please.
Wait, what? Please calm down. What's going on there?
Oh, it's my 8-year-old daughter, Jaden Antoinette. Hang on.
Your Lunchables before you were gone. No, he will never do it again. I promise. Please, no, stop crying. Come here, you wee rascal. No, don't throw the babies. Please don't throw the babies. Please. Please. Look. I'm the little rascal now. No, please stop throwing things. Honey, look. Daddy drew magic marker all over his face. Isn't that funny?
Look, you new Hollywood trash. I'm going to take your head and bat it around like Mort Seagram at the 1984 Tetherball Olympics if you don't do this, okay?
Okay. No, I'm not doing it, Broadwin. I don't care what you say or how tough you talk.
Look, I will beat your ass. I really will.
Okay. I'd like to see you try.
Yeah, well... Look in the mirror because it's the last time you're going to see your face that way.
Oh, okay. You're real.
For Daddy?
What?
Okay. Just don't bite the dog, honey, please. Okay. I'll sing it. Daddy is a stupid head. He doesn't know mommy hates him because he makes less money than literally all of our neighbors. And his car SSD.
Oh,
are you going to do what he used or not, you filth pig?
Filth? I can't believe you just called me a filth pig.
Oh, I wasn't talking to you that time. I was talking to Jaden Antoinette. It was a rare moment of courage. Believe me, they don't come often.
You? What?
Oh, no.
What?
She's really mad, Tom. Oh, my God. Her eyes are glowing, and there's a veritable waterfall of drool coming from her mouth. It's sick. Remember when Dee Wallace sees the dog and says, Cujo, you're rabid.
Uh-huh.
Well, welcome to literally every day over here at our house. It's crazy.
So you're just trapped? What are you, like a prisoner?
Basically, yes, it's sick and it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Equal parts sick and scary?
It's like 70 sick, 30 scary, but it varies. It goes back and forth a lot.
Sure.
It's exhausting.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Well, that's...
I can barely stay awake at this point. Oh, no, Jason Antoinette, no! Oh, my God. Why on earth did I give my poorly behaved 8-year-old child a real whip for her birthday? Oh, no, Jason Antoinette. Why?
You all right there? Hello? Broadwin? Wow, geez. You clear that line, I guess. I guess he might not be, that was upsetting. That was really upsetting. I didn't like that. Didn't like it. Any other calls in New Jersey?
Oh, yeah.
Who's that? Is that you, Dudio?
This is Dudio.
How are you? How are you, my friend?
I was a little uncomfortable with him calling you a filth pig.
Thank you. But it turned out he was talking to his child. That was kind of a relief, and it was worse at the same time.
Yeah. Let's go with line 3. You're on.
Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Todd from Olympia.
Todd from Olympia. What's up, Todd?
I am talking to you for the first time. I've been listening forever and ever, and so I'm one of those callers. First time, long time.
Well, Todd, I welcome you. I welcome you to the best show. Welcome. How are things in Olympia? Who's the best band from Olympia? Who is it? You know. I know. Who's the best band ever from Olympia?
Well, I mean, you might say Be Happening. I'm going to say Unwound in this situation.
Yeah, well, you'd be slightly wrong, my friend. So sorry. Okay. So sorry. It's Beat Happening.
From Olympia. Mm-hmm. Beat Happening band.
Yeah, they are. Oh, I know. I know they're good. You think I didn't think they were good?
Oh, no, of course. I know you talk about them a lot, and I appreciate them very, very much. But
now, what is your first name again, my friend?
Todd.
Todd. Who's the best Todd ever? Rundgren?
Oh, man.
Hansen? Abramson?
Todd Phillips?
Todd Phillips? He might not even be the best Todd Phillips.
You got me on that one.
I didn't watch this Joker yet. I didn't watch this.
I want to see it. I'm all over it. Mike's, you know, giving it his 2 thumbs up, I think.
Of course he would. Of course he would. Of course Mike would.
Yeah,
I like Mike. Mike doesn't like 99% of movies, but then he likes the movies that, what's his face? He loves these movies that, what's his name again? Hal Ashby. He loves that guy's movies. His movies. I saw one of these movies, and it was basically, it was Jack Nicholson. He was like reading the menu at a restaurant. He's like, I want a chicken salad sandwich. Right? And Mike's on the edge of his seat. Ooh, I wonder if he's going to ask for lettuce and tomato. And then there's one where he's dressed like a sailor, and he's walking all around dressed like a sailor, right? And I'm just like, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life. Guy walking around dressed like a sailor. With what's his face? Dennis Quaid. Boring as the day is long. What are you, Santa Claus?
I'm afraid of giving my opinion because I love Hal Ashby.
You give me your opinion. You say whatever you want.
You just like to, you're pushing buttons.
No, man.
Hal Ashby. I love the guy.
Good for you. Good for you. Guy's a living legend, but he just made some movies that are that are not that good.
Well, okay. Okay, do you have any questions for me as a first-time caller? I can answer anything you'd like.
Do I have any questions for a new caller? Yeah, well, how long have you been listening to the show, my friend?
I've been listening, I'm pretty sure, since, like, right at the end of the PD era, like the first year of Mike. Right around there.
The end of the PD era?
Yeah.
Well, that's a long time ago, man.
And I got a CD from my friend Julie, shout out to my friend Julie in Seattle, who gave me the Rock and Roll in 2001, I think, Olympia.
And how was that?
And I shared it with all my friends, and it was amazing. And then I moved to Portland, and I met a bunch of FOTs, and yeah. So, and then I moved back to Olympia.
Made you laugh a little bit?
Tons. Are you kidding? You're a very important part of my early podcast listening world, and I started listening live, and you're a very important part of my life.
Well, you're sweet to say that, my friend. I appreciate it. And do you have any questions for me?
Gosh, I purposely didn't go live tonight because I was so nervous. I wanted to stay in my zone so I could, like,
that's all right. Don't worry about it. You don't worry about it. So you tell me, my friend, what are your highlights for, what are you looking to do for 2020?
2020 is going to be huge. I bought a house a couple of years ago and I'm just constantly working on it. I put a gym in my basement and a really amazing stereo system down there. So it's going to be like listening to the best show, working out. I love basements and it's my favorite place to be and it's turning into like a really cool space. So it's working on that constantly and working on my house and just living life.
I love it. I love it. All right, buddy. You have a great, 2020. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey.
Thanks for calling.
Huge.
Okay. You take care. Any more calls?
Yep. Let's go to line two. You're on.
Hello, Mr. Sharpling. Is this you?
It's me, yes. To whom am I speaking?
This is Mike from Minneapolis.
Mike from Minneapolis. What's up, Mike?
Hello, sir. Well, I was just congratulating you and probably everybody else is on that unbelievably fine piece of writing that you submitted on that website. I'm only halfway through and it's just it's very, very entertaining, sir.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the nice words.
So I'm not giving any spoilers away, but there's a meta quality to the thing that people have probably hinted to. And that made me think of, we were having this discussion, my friends and I, about what inevitably the Prince tribute movie is going to be, because I'm from Minneapolis and we talk a lot about said things up here.
Mm-hmm.
So we were thinking it would be better, not just because it's another Minnesota person. Remember that movie that had Kate Blanchett in it and everybody's interpretation of Bob Dylan? Remember that thing?
What was it called?
I'm Not There.
That's what it was called.
I'm Not There. So I think a fine take on Prince's thing would be something analogous to I'm Not There, and maybe we were thinking like Janelle Monáe. She's a big Prince-aholic, and she's a pretty good actor. She's been in a couple of good movies. And then the Glover, it's not Danny Glover, Corey Glover, Crispin Glover. It's, yeah, Donald Glover. Donald Glover, that Glover, that
yes.
one.
Donald Glover.
Yeah, so I think that would be a fine idea. And then we were thinking, from reading the thing today, I think you'd be obviously somebody who would, I don't know, writing it or whatever, but it just seems like it would much benefit from a meta commentary where people are portraying and commenting outside, and it's all very meta and fun. And so I was just thinking, while I was reading that, I'm thinking, oh boy, this would be great if he took this to a like a Prince story. That'd be awesome. Because, of course, the point is that we've already had the Prince origin story, so we don't need that again.
Mm-hmm.
His own darn. So I was thinking, well, this is a job for Mr. Tom Sharpling. That's what I was thinking.
Well, you're sweet to say that, and hopefully, fingers crossed, I get some opportunity to do the Prince thing. I wouldn't know what to do with that. What would I do with that?
Of course you would. It's fun. You know. I don't know. Your wit just. I don't know. I just think. Everything, I don't know, maybe Jimmy, I don't know, Carl and Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, swap some stories, I don't know.
Carl Lewis?
Aren't they?
Huh? The Olympiad?
No, Jimmy Jam and you know, the producer guys, the Kevin Garnett's best friends that still live up here, aren't they? Didn't they? Aren't they?
Hey, my friend, you're the one from there. I ain't.
Yeah, I think they're still here. Well, they were here back when, in the Kevin Garnett days, he was spent a lot of time there because I think he was dating one of their daughters. So they were in the news a lot.
So hold on. So you know the gossip on this thing, but you just don't know. You're very confusing to me. Who's the greatest artist of all time from Minnesota?
Well, you're making me choose between Prince and Bob Dylan or Mr. Zimmerman. I can't do that.
You could also be choosing from Dave Perner from Soul Asylum.
Dave Perner, when I moved here in the 90s, was a staple of a certain bar, and he was getting in a lot of fights, and everybody, and it was a whole thing. Him and Bob Stinson, and it was an ugly time.
You're giving me the real lowdown here.
Oh no! Ask any. There's friends of Tom. Many friends of Tom's from Minneapolis. They'll tell you some stories about a place called Liquor Lyle's here in Minneapolis that had Mr. Dave Perner in it and Bob Stinson. And it was notorious. It was a scene.
Those were the days, huh?
Well, yeah, that was the days when, you know, everybody from here has a Prince story, and that's the days when His Royal Badness would be driving around uptown, as he's wont to do, and he would roll down the window in his shaded limo just to get people's reactions, and then they'd scream, and then he'd laugh, and he'd wind the window up and drive back to Chan Hansen in Paisley Park, and I know at least three people that have that story.
Well, you're one of them. You're one of them.
No, I didn't. I never did.
Nah, but, got the story, though.
Well, yeah. Again, I just wanted to loud kudos for you, sir. That was a great, great, great piece of writing.
I got to finish it. Yeah. You didn't finish it. You don't know anything about it. It gets different.
Well, I'm from what I've read, I'm just a huge. It's just hugely entertaining, and I am indeed a first time, long time. So this is a great thrill for me, sir. I've been a big fan since 2010. I got the box set of Patreon, the whole thing. You're the greatest.
Well, thank you, my friend, and you have a great night.
All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. Bye.
All right. Good night. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Let me say this. Don't put anybody on yet.
God.
You listen to me. AP Mike, you there?
He's coming to his mic.
He's coming. Good.
He's laughing while running.
Good, good. Well, I hope he's not running carelessly.
I'm good. What up, Tom?
Now, Mike.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know people want from you?
Yeah.
They say to me.
What?
They say they want more AP Mike.
Yeah.
They say they just want more.
I want some content, huh?
They want some content.
Yeah. My marketing people keep telling me that. Give more content.
Let's give them some content.
Okay.
What would you think about this, Mike?
Okay.
I'm going to pitch you. God knows why I'm the one pitching you on anything. Right?
Yeah.
God knows why I'm the one jumping through hoops on this.
Okay.
Why don't we do a, but why don't we do, what if we did this? There's me and there's you and there's Pat and there's Dudio, right?
Yeah.
What if we did this? Because I'm going to say this right now. Everybody listening, I first of all want to say I know there ain't been as much Patreon content as there should be. I know that. It hurts my heart. I know that. I'm going to fix it, though. I'm going to fix it. It's going to be, you're going to get what you wanted. Going to fly right. Best show's going to fly right now. What do you think about this, Mike? What if we each came up with a show that the other one had to do?
Oh, Jesus.
Had to execute the concept of, and it went up on the Patreon. Cause which, first of all, people don't know the Patreon. That's how the best show stays on the air. We don't have ads or listener support in terms of advertisements or things like that. And there's no paywall. We have this Patreon account, Best Show. It's patreon.com/thebestshow. And that's how you support the show. And we send you things for supporting the show. And we put original content that is exclusive to Patreon up there. So why don't we do, what if I did this, Mike? What if we did this? I came up with a show and you had to do it. Right?
Okay.
And then conversely, you can come up with a show idea that me or any of the other of us would have to do.
Mm-hmm. So are all four of us going to be participants when and there'll be just like one of us is leading the show? Or is it just, you know, me and I can bring in guests? Or
oh, you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bring in guests. Mm-hmm. Would you? And what about this, Mike, as a show idea? It's called Bayonne Nights.
Bayonne Nights. Yeah.
And this is what it is.
Yeah.
It's you driving around in not your car, or maybe your car, or a car, right?
Yeah.
Get you and a guest driving around Bayonne.
Yeah.
And you tell stories. Maybe you stop off, grab a cold one somewhere, right?
Be a live remote you're talking about?
No, this is pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded, okay.
It'll go up on the Patreon.
All right. I have a Zoom.
Yeah, that's exactly. You have a Zoom.
Yeah. I need the microphones, though. What kind of microphones do you suggest? Because they have those little built-in ones, right? But somebody
said, just use those.
Well, we'll get you. Look, Dudio will set you up.
Yeah, we've got mics.
We got the equipment, Mike.
Bring the Zoom in.
I got the tech hookup.
Yeah.
I think I have a host I could drive around with.
Or we get somebody. We'll put you in a car.
Yeah.
Would you do that, Mike?
Yeah, I like this idea.
Would you do it sometime in January for me?
January, okay. Yeah, not January. Oh,
this guy's moaning about. This is what I get. This is what I get. No. That is what I get.
Did I just tell you it's wide open? It's
guy said, exactly. Guy says, yeah, I got nothing going on. And then I say, well, could you do this in the next 3.5 weeks? Oh boy, January. Huh? Let me think.
No, I could do it.
I get grief. Uh-huh. I'm kidding, Mike.
How long you want a segment?
You do a 45-minute show. Okay. No less than 45 minutes. You do as much as you want, but let's say 45 minutes is the minimum.
Mm-hmm. See if I can get some. I have one guy in mind. He would be interesting, but he's not drinking now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how interesting he is now. But maybe I can get some people to talk to. Yeah. The wheels are spinning, Tom.
Okay. I love it. Well, let's. Oh, let me just. Mike, I'm doing 80 things at once here.
Yeah.
I got to write these things and keep everything on track. Mm-hmm. Ay, ay, ay. Mike, I tell you. One thing I know, Mike, is grownups3script.com. It's on fire. Mm. Oh, boy. Mm. People like it. People like this thing.
No, I'm promoting it. Have you seen me promoting it?
I have.
Yeah.
Now, I will say to you, Mike, you now have the option to say what show I would do or any of the other people would do. But give it a thought.
Yeah.
You don't have to rush into it.
Yeah. Let me sleep on it, as they said.
Yeah, just like Meatloaf said. Why don't you sleep on it? Remember when he said that, Mike?
Yeah.
Remember he was like, let me sleep on it. Baby, let me sleep on it. Let me sleep on it. I'll give you my answer in the morning. Remember that song?
Yeah.
Those were the days, huh? Mm-hmm. When Meatloaf.
Friend of mine would play that album over and over. I mean, that record was just drilled into my head. When
yeah. It's a good record.
Yeah.
It's a fake Bruce Springsteen record. It's got basically E Street bands backing a Meatloaf up.
Yeah. That album, Hotel California.
Any other albums you listened to back then?
Stranger.
Which one? So you listen to Meatloaf,
yes.
Eagles, Billy Joel. Who else?
ELO is great.
No. Who else?
Boston.
I'll stop. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Imagine this. Look, you got to admit, even if you're the biggest Eagles fan in the world, the day one of them walks in and says, I wrote a song called Hotel California. Wouldn't you be like, look, that sounds like something we're going to each make $300 million off of, but it also sounds pretty stupid. You would just have to, you would literally have to like do the weighing of your hands, be like the pros and cons, like pros, $300 million each.
Uh-huh.
Cons, being an architect of the dumbest recording to date.
I've heard it's very big in Mexico.
Well, there's that cover of it that was in The Big Lebowski. They even did. They played that. Who was that? That was the Gypsy Kings.
Gypsy Kings, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've spoken to people who said that it helped them with their English.
Hotel California?
That album, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that album sucks. So... So, Mike, you come up with it. I want you to do Bayonne Nights.
Bayonne Nights. All right.
And it's you driving around in a car. And we should get some. You know what you need is a soundtrack for, like, sleaze music.
I'm already thinking of spots already. The diner. The quick check.
Yeah, see?
Masses.
This guy's off to the races already.
Ready, yeah.
The closed down Frank Theaters.
No.
Right?
Well, there's a Houlihan's there. We could probably.
You go to the Houlihan's? Yeah.
Go say hi to Mary Houlihan.
The Sonic, of course, you got to hit the Sonic in Bayonne. Yeah.
You guys didn't ruin the Sonic yet in Bayonne.
Still going, believe it or not.
Yeah. It's a nice Sonic.
How did you guys not trash that yet?
Well, it's sort of off the beaten path. It's sort of, you got to go out on a highway.
This is the music you need, like drive soundtrack kind of sleaze, right?
Yeah.
This is how it should go. Let's go like. Well, no, that's the Hitchhiker. That's the music from the hit. Remember that show, Hitchhiker, Mike? HBO show?
I didn't watch it.
It was one of the, that's when HBO was kind of like, well, I think they still are like this, actually, where they'd be like, we want to do a show about a thing, and ladies need to take their shirts off during it. Like, what if we did a sitcom about a football team? That's a great idea. Oh, one other thing. Every episode, we do need a lady to take her shirt off. But we'll get you. We need to get you some old fashioned sleaze rock as your soundtrack, right?
Yeah.
Let's make this happen, Mike. What do you think?
Yeah.
Bayonne Nights. It's AP Mike.
Well, thinking about it, I did the video going way back when. That was Bayonne during the day, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this will be the flip side.
Yeah, showing everybody your favorite is a booth at the diner.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm more of a counter guy though.
Okay, more of a counter guy. What do you? Let me picture you going into a diner. What do you sit down? You bring in something to read?
No. I mean, Tom, it's usually like 4 in the morning and I'm plastered. So, you know.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's I don't go there for the buffet.
What do you order?
They have a buffet. I mean, it depends on how plastered I am. You know, if I'm really bad, you know, I'll go for an omelet, you know, keep it light. You know, but if I didn't eat that night, you know, maybe I'll go for there's a really nice chicken sandwich they have there.
Ah.
On a croissant.
Oh, sounds delicious.
Mozzarella, a little roasted pepper.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds like we got the Gordon Ramsay Jr. over here.
And the thing's enormous, so you get like...
Okay, Mike. Yeah. Bayonne Knights.
Bayonne Knights, I like it.
Dudio.
Yeah.
Mike picks first, so you get ready.
Okay.
And everybody, go to grownups3script.com and sign up for the mailing list. We're doing a new Besho mailing list, so you can get on that. Yeah, man.
And we've got other shows that are potentially coming back, too.
Oh, yes, they are. I'm telling you, people are going to look back at the end of 2020. They're going to go, yeah, I see what it was. I see. I get it. The kid threw it down. They're going to say the kid threw it down, and I'm the kid. They're going to say the kid threw it down. He took care of business.
They'll say it.
He delivered. They're going to say, what can't he do? It's a shorter list at this point. What can't he do?
What is the expiration date on using the kid as your own nickname, though? It's got to be an expiration date.
Is there? Why don't you go, Mike, why don't you go talk to Mike Love, one of the Beach Boys? The guy's 99 years old. The guy's 99 years old. He's singing Be True to Your School.
Okay, that's true.
This guy's up on stage singing Be True to Your School. What school is this guy?
Yeah, you're right.
This guy walks around. Imagine this guy walking around the hallways of a school. The school would be on lockdown in 5 seconds. The police would be rushing in because they saw a guy with a baseball cap. Yeah, guy's talking about drag racing. Imagine racing him. What's he driving? A PT Cruiser? This is your music, Mike. Something like this. Who can make Mike music like this? For Bayonne Knights. How's that sound, Mike? You like the feel of that?
Yeah, that'll be like the in between segments, you know?
Yeah.
Segments. I play a little of that. Next thing you know, I'm at the diner. I'm at the Quick Check.
Now we're going into the Quick Check. I got to see if they have any more of those single pickles in bags.
Yeah. You know what I noticed? I was actually in the Quick
Two
Check.
Two hard-boiled eggs, please. Oh.
Did you know that Sour Patch, the candy?
They have their own pickle now?
No, they have some sort of like Frogurt or, you know, some sort of...
Frogurt.
Yeah, like at a
Go-Gurt?
At a machine. Like you get a cup and you squeeze this thing and you get some sort of Sour Patch concoction.
Well, that's disgusting.
Not Mike. A Slurpee, but you know, some sort of.
Is it creamy?
I guess so. I didn't buy one.
Well, first episode you're gonna have to, Mike.
You're gonna eat a whole one.
Right, first episode. Now we're gonna go get some Sour Patch Frogurt.
I just found the angle for the visit to the Quick Check. We're gonna buy some horrific. Sour Patch. Stuff.
Okay. You do that. That's episode one. It's going to be you and your special guest going to get Frogurt. Who do you want to be your first guest? Brett Daniels?
Well, you know, I was going to have my Bayonne Connect, who I had on the show that time.
Jim?
Yeah, Jimmy.
Why don't you get, what if you do this? Why don't you have two guests? One, one like kind of, because you have a foot in both worlds, Mike.
Yeah.
You have a foot in the world of comedy and a foot in the world of what would you call it? The underbelly.
Yeah, the underbelly. The American underbelly.
Yeah.
That's a good podcast name too.
Yeah.
American Underbelly: Bayonne Knights. Right?
Series.
Tom Sharpling presents, no, here's what's good. Tom Sharpling presents American Underbelly. And then it'll be like, I'll do all the American Underbelly shows. And then we'll do Bayonne Nights will be one of the American, it'll be like the blue chip franchise of the American Underbelly network. Right? And then we'll send Jason, why don't we send Jason back to his old roots in West Virginia? Right? Get him back there, get him in one of the coal mines or something.
Radford Nights.
Yeah. Radford Nights. Get him to hang out in one of the towns that work with like the bucks, whatever that the owner of the mine shaft makes you take his, like, Harrison bucks.
Yeah. Where they sell the mine canaries.
Yeah, they sell the mine canaries. They sell the overalls and the, yeah. They make you buy your own helmets and picks. Yeah.
Yep.
We'll send you back.
I'll go back.
Then we'll send Pat. We'll drive him around in a car with Southside Johnny. Yeah. The other one should be, what if we do this? And don't even tell Pat this. I'm sure Pat's asleep. He's sick. I hope he's recovering. Pat, if you're listening, shut this off for the next 30 seconds. What if we just do a show with Pat where we say it's like Pat, it's called Pat the Movies, and like it's at the movies, but it's like Pat the Movies, right? Yeah. And he has to go see whatever movie a listener suggests. He has to see and do like his opinion of it. But
out watching the movie, like into like a little microphone or something.
But each movie is just, we keep saying that the audience keeps voting for Drowning Mona. The one movie he saw 41 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's still talking about it. Guy saw a bad movie. Can't believe the indignity. Pat went to a movie that wasn't very good.
I thought maybe we could send him to movie theaters, but give him the wrong time so that he gets there just too late. And then he gets confronted, you know, by the ticket.
Yeah, only at Alamo Draft
House. We keep setting him up for a constant Alamo Draft House frustration.
Yeah.
It's called 10 Minutes Late with Pat. Because Pat showed up at a screening of a movie at Alamo Draft House, and they wouldn't seat him because he was like 10 minutes late. It's just called 10 Minutes Late with Pat Byrne.
Yeah, and you can do it at all these different theaters.
We make him 10 minutes late for all sorts of things.
Yeah. And, you know, he's got to deal with these people who are, you know, going to frustrate him.
10 minutes late for dinner reservations. 10 minutes late for Alamo Draft House movie. Just all these things. He's got to show up 10 minutes late and deal with the frustration. I love it. This is why I want look with the show. Let's take some calls and then I want to. And then I'll wrap it up. We're building this thing back up.
All right.
Who do you got for me?
Line one, you are on.
Line one, welcome. Hi, line one, welcome to the best show.
Hi, this is Dee Dee from Tacoma.
Dee Dee from Tacoma, how are you tonight in Tacoma, Dee Dee?
Oh, just fine. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. I've been on hold for like an hour, so.
Dee Dee, the wait is over.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, no, I'm a first time long time.
Okay. But
yeah, I know, and I think I have one of the weird distinctions of talking to you outside of the best show.
Where'd you talk to me?
I've actually texted you the last couple of weeks. I'm dating Zoe.
Oh, yes, we talked. That's good to hear from you. How are you?
Yes. Thank you so much. I've been good. Like, today's been weird, but, just a lot going on. I've been reading the Grown Ups 3 script.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You didn't finish it yet?
I haven't. I started on the bus earlier.
Yeah, you'll get there. You'll get there, Dee Dee. Dee Dee, why don't you tell everybody about your friend? And is your friend's dilemma still ongoing?
It's ongoing. Zoe, she's called into the best show before. She's from Olympia.
I love looking at Twitter first. Let me just say this, Didi. I look at Twitter and somebody yelling at me because I basically said that, Five Easy Pieces was a Hal Ashby movie, which I knew it wasn't. I was teasing you and I knew someone would blow a fuse. And there we go. Look at this tweet. Ashby didn't do Five Easy Pieces. You like Five Easy Pieces, S bag. Hey, that's what these Hal Ashby fans are like. They really acquit themselves nicely in society. Can't you say you're not nuts about one of their movies? They call you names. They call you names. It's sick. Sick and sad.
I could get yelled at right now on Twitter just for saying that I've never seen a Hal Ashby movie. I guess.
Oh, they won't be able to handle that.
Yeah, what? No. I know how a lot of like film fans can be, especially. Yeah.
So. I'll say this. If I want to watch a movie about hairstyling that has a political undercurrent to it, you know, movie I'll watch? I'm not going to watch Shampoo. I'm going to watch Don't Mess with Zohan. Better. It's a better movie. Is Dave Matthews, does Dave Matthews play a white supremacist in Shampoo? I don't think so. Right? Does Mariah Carey have a featured part in Shampoo? I don't believe so.
I would definitely watch that movie if either of those things were true.
Is John Turturro playing a fast food a Palestinian fast food magnate in Shampoo? No, I don't believe so. How much hacky sack is in Shampoo? Zero. How much is in Don't Mess with the Zohan? Lots.
I'm going to have to like go to the 7-Eleven and buy Don't Mess with the Zohan. Like, unless it's streaming somewhere right now.
It's on.
Like,
it's on. Have you ever heard of Netflix?
Oh, I have.
Well, you should check it out. It's up there.
I saw Uncut Gems, and so reading the Grown Ups 3 spec script is like kind of like something else with the metacontextual stuff going on with it.
But picture when I wrote it. I wrote it back in early April.
I know.
Yeah. I wrote it before I saw Uncut Gems. I wrote it before that.
Yeah, you're a visionary on that.
Like, why, thank you. Look, visionary, it's a hard, there's certain words, I will say this, certain words make me uncomfortable to call myself hero, visionary, genius. I can't say them about myself. Can others? That's up to them. I'm not going to beat that drum. I'm just a lunch pail guy, a hard hat out here just making my way through the world. Carrying my lunchbox around like Billy Braver. It's an inside WTF moment. And by the way, WTF, I want to say congratulations to Mark Maron, who got Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio on WTF. And very exciting. And it's one of the things, I didn't hear it yet, but I heard about it from our friend Brendan, who produces the show with Mark, and Brad Pitt said to, when they met, I guess Leonardo DiCaprio said to Mark, Brad, all he did was talk about your TV series the whole time we filmed the movie. And Brad Pitt goes on record and says he watched every episode of Marin, Mark's show, 3 times. And he's like, whoa, super into it. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, no, I've seen that show like once on Netflix so far, and like, I like that, the idea of that being his version of like Friends or The Office, just like a comfort sitcom that he goes to.
Yeah, that's his. So you know what the crazy thing about that is, or one of the crazy things about it, Brad Pitt knows who Andy Kindler is now. Brad Pitt has watched Andy Kindler act.
And Brad Pitt now has also watched Jonah Ray act. Jonah Ray stealing a beer from Brad Pitt is closer than ever as a reality. Jonah, you're so much close. You're so close to stealing, snaking a beer from Brad Pitt. What? I didn't know I took it. I just saw a beer. Still gets in. It still irks me a little bit. Still irks me. I can't help it. I can't help it.
Yeah, no, that. Yeah, of course.
I can't help it. He took my beer. I don't even like beer. Hold on one second. Let me play this. Hold on. No. This'll answer all the questions.
Free on the Freeloader's Guide to Easy Living. Hi, I'm Jonah Ray. Check your scruples at the door, because this is Drinking for Free on the Freeloader's Guide to Easy Living.
And this is a guy who said to me, I didn't take your beer. And this is what he said. This is the kind of thing, this makes me feel like bleeping Matlock when I have things like this. Like I'm winning the case in a courtroom.
Here's something you may not know about me. I haven't paid for a drink in over 4 years.
That's a receipt.
Thank you.
It's evident. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Open and shut case.
Yeah. And here's another thing that Jonah said, which drove me nuts.
I'm warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So real quick, do you want to tell me about Zoe's situation? Tell the listeners about it real quick or not, or they can just check it out. I tweeted about it. They can look it up there.
You tweeted about it and actually it made the fundraiser got met. So thank you so much for doing that.
And that's fantastic. Then that's what matters. Yeah. That things get taken care of and that people are treated fairly like they deserve to be treated. Especially people who are trying to do the right thing do not get mistreated and abused. It's terrible. And I'm glad I could just at least spread the word on a little bit. All right. Well, thank you for the call. I gotta close it out here. Earwolves, they throw me out here at a point. So, you have a grand evening and happy New Year.
You too.
Okay, bye. Who else we got?
One final call. Line 3, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Rachel from Eureka, California.
Rachel from Eureka, California. What's going on in Eureka tonight, Rachel?
Not a whole lot. Just have all my lights on and a wood fire going and my husband is making me dinner and my dog is barking at AP Mike and having fun listening to the best show.
What are you looking forward to in 2020, Rachel?
I don't even know. I don't even like to look forward to the next week. So
that's fine.
Just moving and going on trips and hopefully moving forward with my life.
Good. That sounds like a plan.
And I think it would be also amazing if you brought back Dog Sember, maybe, for 2020.
We'll end 2020 with Dog Sember, okay?
Yes, that's my number one, because I have a song I sing to my dog when she doesn't do what I want her to do, and I'd love to call back again and sing it for you.
I can't wait. Let's put it down on the books. We'll do that in December. And what about... I'll say this. Anybody, if they name their dog after a Best Show character, I want to know about it. I want to take, like, if somebody named their dog AP Mike, for example. Right?
Wow.
What is your dog's name, Rachel?
Abby. Abby Zab, Zib Zab, Abby Solis.
Do you ever play Abba Zabba for your dog by Captain Beefheart? Wake your dog up?
I'm sure she's probably heard it before, but I've never played it just for her.
No? You should. No. Get that dog going in the morning, right? Here's what it's like in the morning for you. Dog's lying there, right? You got to get your day started. This dog's got to go do her business.
So this is what you do. You put a speaker right behind the dog, and the dog's in a little dog bed. You crank it like this. Oh, why aren't you playing? Oh, I know why. Here we go. No?
She liked it. I put the phone up to her, and she started licking my face and wagging her tail, so it's our new morning ritual.
Dog is begging you to stop. What kind of dog is Abby?
She's what I call a pound puppy, but I'm pretty sure she's got a lot of whippet in her.
Mm-hmm.
Like the small greyhound.
And naturally, if your dog has whippet in her, you say whippet good, right?
Yeah, of course. Devo.
There's no way that one was left on the table. You're using that one regularly. My dog's a whippet.
Of course.
Whippet good, right?
Good. Right. Correct.
Maybe what if I went, holy moly. Rachel, I just came up with the idea that makes me rich the way Hotel California made the Eagles rich.
Please tell me.
Get ready for this. I open up a business. I write the songs and record the songs about your dog. Right?
Speechless.
Just imagine. Because look, you get these people write these songs about their dogs, and they're just like, Abby is my dog, and we like to walk down the street. That sucks. No offense.
It does.
You get me on the job, suddenly, like, Abby is my dog, whip it. She is a whippet, whip it, right?
That is, and you can
have She's a whippet.
Wow.
Right?
Whip it good.
Yeah, whip it good. Boom, 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 boom. Abby is my dog. Meow, meow. I just figured the $300 million idea out. Professional dog songs that you can, we will record with your dog's name in it and all the references to your dog in it. Here we go.
What? So here's my request. This is a song that I've already done.
Yeah.
Zombie, but it goes.
Hobby, hobby. Hobby, right? With your leash and your bone and your bone and your leash, right? Is that how it goes?
But it's more to do with her getting into her bed. So it's in your bed, get in your bed.
Oh, I like it. Happy, happy,
happy.
In your bed, get in your bed. Happy, happy, right? Hey.
You
just gotta stay alive. I just gotta stay alive. I got the whooping cough. I got the whooping cough. I gotta see this business get off the ground. See AP Mike. I tell you this. This is what I also want to say. I'm saying this is a legal document right now. Legal audio document. If you're listening to this, I am dead. Let me keep going, please. If you're listening to this, I am dead. I only have a couple requests. One is that AP Mike and Jason Dudio Gore are not to get one nickel from this dog songwriting business. They did nothing to start it. They did not contribute to it. They are verboten. Keep them away from this business. I don't want them writing. I want Mike writing some weird songs about people's dogs.
Hey, Devin, erase the tape on your side. I'll do the same on ours.
No, don't. Don't. All right, Rachel, I'm going to say goodnight to you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you.
Of course. And everybody out there, I want everybody that listens to The Best Show to know this. You know one thing. I want you to know something. Your guy, Tom, he's on the job. Tom ain't messing around. Tom's all business. Best Show, man. Best show's coming for you. My fist, your face. That's what we do in 2020. You're going to see clear. You're going to see my fist coming at you. You got 2020 vision. Your 2020 vision is going to be my fist, your face. So you listen to me. It hasn't happened yet. The best part of this whole thing hasn't even happened yet. First thing I dropped on your heads was Grown Ups 3. Some people would look, they'd be like, I couldn't come within 100 miles of that thing in my life. I didn't even tell everybody how long it took me to write it. Because Colette had to say 6 hours. Makes anything sound stupid.
Well, it was more than 6 hours. It was.
But you listen to me. All you bums and half-wits and sneaks and fake friends and rats. You're all getting walked into the ocean this year. This is Tom's decade, you hear me? It's Tom's decade. It's Tom time! It's Tom time! You got me, Mike? Mike? Guess he's not there.
He's running to the mic.
He's running to the mic. You got me? Mike, it's Tom time. This is Tom's decade. This is it. It's probably going to be my final decade, but I'm putting it all in on this one. We're all in, baby. You along for the ride, Mike?
I am. Just writing out the script for Bayonne 9.
I like that. You got fire. You're my favorite now, Mike.
Next 60 bucks.
Studio? You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
For 2020?
I'm in.
Name 3 things you want to do. Name 2 things you want. Name 1 thing you want to do professionally and then 1 thing best show that you want to do in 2020.
Okay. Professionally, I'd like to do Midlife Crisis at Edinburgh.
That's your one-man show, which is a runaway hit, which everybody likes. I hear so many good things about it. When are you doing it next, by the way?
The next show is next Wednesday, the 15th, 7:30, Hell's Kitchen.
All right.
Theater.
That's great. People of New York, check it out. And what about best show-wise? What do you want to do?
I'm ready to bring back Meet My Friends.
Yeah, well, guess what? I almost called a name. I almost said, guess what, B-word? It's coming back. But I didn't. I'll say to you, guess what, my friend? Meet My Friends, The Friends is coming back. It's not on Netflix, but it's going to be in your hearts. If that's right, it's off Netflix now. Friends is off Netflix.
Till May. That's when it comes back.
But you want to know. You want to know what? We'll be back. We're coming back. So get ready.
I saw Jason's show, Don.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it.
That's great.
Big crowd.
Julie Klausner was there. She's great, and she's a part of Tom Time 2020.
You would have enjoyed this, Tom.
I just want to say one thing about Mike being at the show. I look out in the audience. It was a good house.
Yeah.
There were about 4 children, ages 5 to 12, sitting next to Mike. While he's just drinking a beer.
Was it Willy Wonka?
It was the tiniest children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be an aisle hog, you know.
Yeah.
Take the first seat.
You were in the middle. You were in the middle.
So I moved into the middle, so I get a good, you know, center view. And I'm followed by this family.
Yeah.
Swiss Family Robinson.
And really looked like it. They really looked like it.
And a kid next to me. You know, there's some adult material in the show, and this kid's laughing it up. I'm like, okay. You know, I didn't know what that word meant when I was that age, but you obviously do. You know, interesting.
Great story. No, it was. It was a really great story. I appreciate that story. And Mike, you're still my favorite. Dudio?
Yeah.
You're hot on Mike's heels.
Okay.
I want you to take that hunger and use it.
Oh, I'm... Yeah.
Use it.
I will destroy him in 20.
I want to thank Earwolf for their facilities, so generously sharing them I want to thank my friend Devin for engineering and keeping things tight on this. You're a champ.
It's my pleasure, always.
And I want to thank everyone who listened, and I want to tell you to go to spread the word on Grown Ups 3. Come on, help me out. GrownUps3Script.com. Get it everywhere. It's the best thing I've ever done. And I tell you, look out. 2020, it's Tom time. Look out. Here we go. Good night, everybody.
Jason in Brooklyn, what's up, Jason?
Hi, Mike. You know, I've been listening to you for a while, and you've always said that your radio show has been very unique in that you could always turn on the car, you always could turn on your show on the car with the kids in the car.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to worry about any foul language.
Absolutely.
Right, so how come in the movie, like, your part, well, you know, you had to curse. Why couldn't you just, you know, do your part without cursing?
Because they asked me, but that's not my brand. The movie is an R-rated movie that I don't think you're going to be taking your kids to, and has nothing to do with my TV, my radio show, which is for 35 years a show you could turn on and can turn on any day, and you'll never hear me doing any scatological stuff. You'll never hear me doing any nasty stuff. You won't hear me saying anything foul or doing anything for a cheap thrill or any of that stuff, and that sticks to this day. So you can turn it on with your kid in the car every day. The movie was a script. I could agree to do it or not do it. It was a script. I stuck to the script, okay? So
why do you agree to curse on you know, while everyone sees
again,
how you're light? That's something that people don't want to see.
What do you mean they don't want to see it? Don't see it. Don't go see it. I have no problem with that. It's an R-rated movie. You don't have to go see it. It's an R-rated movie. If you don't want to see it, it's an R-rated movie. You don't have to go see it. That has nothing to do with my radio show. If you don't see the difference, I can't help you. But you will never hear anything on the show that would in any way offend anybody in your family. Ever. Not one day. Ever. Never has. Never will. So, and I stick by that. And I've always stuck by that. So you can turn it on with your kids in the car any time. Any time. You will never have to say, oh, what are they talking about? Oh, look at the language he used. Oh, look what he's talking about. Look at the subject matter. You'll never have to do that ever, not once. Nor have you ever had to in 35 years.